During the pandemic, when my family was all shut in together, we decided to start watching Star Trek Voyager. One episode every night, it's got 172 episodes. That would keep us busy for a while. And yeah, it's fun. It's a good, you know, it was a good silver lining to lockdown. Gave my family a lot of lasting inside jokes. We still talk about how everyone seems to talk 6 inches from each other's face in that show. And we can all say with varying degrees of accuracy, my name is Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager. This is your warning to stop wishing I was a T-girl. Anyway, Voyager is a great show, but I think the character my family will most remember from it, unfortunately, is Neelix. Star Wars has Jar Jar, Star Trek has Neelix. Maybe there's one Star Trek character who's more annoying, Wesley Crusher, but that's a big maybe. Neelix is a species of some kind, Talaxian apparently, who kind of gets flung together with the crew of the Voyager in the first episode, has to make himself fit in, and never really does. Neelix's vibes are your uncle who thinks he's the life of the party and can't be convinced otherwise. He has no real talent as part of the crew. He's the cook. I mean, yeah, he's a good cook, but his main role is dispensing platitudes that cheer people up, and the handful of episodes where the writers try to make Neelix the core of the narrative and bring in more emotional depth are actually not bad, but don't really feel consistent with the character of Neelix. He's not an inherently bad character. I can picture Neelix bragging about catching a huge smallmouth bass or cooking a killer hot dish. But as a member of the crew of a starship, he's just annoying. He's also got uncomfortably, like, lecherous old man energy. Not like he's a straight-up predator, but again, like your divorced uncle who has to be told not to make those jokes around kids. Okay, maybe Neelix is a predator, because his girlfriend is canonically 2 years old. She's a member of an alien species that only has a 9-year lifespan anyway, and she's clearly smarter than Neelix, so it passes the hardness test. But A, she's childlike in her physical appearance and a total manic pixie dream girl, and B, Neelix is a different species that lives much longer, and C, it's not clear how much she loves Neelix, and Neelix regularly gets mad at her for showing too much interest in the other male characters. I sound so woke saying this, but I just can't enjoy a character who is portrayed by the narrative as just a guileless, friendly guy to have around, but one of his main personality traits is being jealous because his much younger girlfriend is having conversations with other men. I'm not a Trekkie, and I'm sure all this discourse had already been beaten to death long before Joed Karim even went to the zoo. But all this to say, that's my perception of Neelix. Annoyingly cheerful and uncomfortably horny old man, overprotective of his weirdly childlike girlfriend, and also, for good measure, he looks like an echidna. Which is why it's so funny to me that, first of all, Neelix has fans, at least one fan who was a big enough fan to name his Wikipedia editor account Neelix, and that guy was Wikipedia's most uncomfortably horny editor. Because once again on this channel, we are talking about Wikipedia drama. No, this is not going to cover the wiki mystery that I teased at the end of the previous Wikipedia-related episode, the page for David Woodard. Since I brought attention to that mystery, there's been a lot uncovered, I think it's largely been solved, and there's definitely enough for a pretty in-depth Towards Cabinet episode there, but I also think the dust hasn't fully settled on that, and I'm going to wait at least another month or so before I get on covering David Woodard. No, this is about a classic Wikipedia controversy. One that's been covered by other channels before, but apparently they misunderstood things about the culture and organizational structure of Wikipedia, so I'm trying not to repeat those mistakes. Huge shout out to my friend Sawyer, who is an experienced Wikipedia editor, for recommending I cover this story and believing I could cover it well, but we'll see. I'm your host Tor Parsons, these are my co-hosts Jollibee the Durian and Sludge the Shoggoth, and welcome to Tor's Cabinet of Curiosities.
And hope to guide your honor side.
They say anyone can edit Wikipedia. Try that. Try editing Wikipedia right now. You've probably got a Wikipedia page open while you're watching this. Your teacher's told you horror stories about how anyone can add dumb bullshit to Wikipedia without any guardrails, and if you do your research from there, you'll start telling people that the center of an atom is called Dave. That is not correct, because according to the Free Encyclopedia, if you go on Wikipedia, just without a past history of editing, make an account, and make an edit, it may have to be checked by an admin. If you add garbage, they'll remove it. You might think that tiny, obscure pages that admins don't visit often might be a place that troll edits can stay up for a little while, and sometimes they are. I've found a fair number of extremely weird stub pages on Wikipedia, which is what the short pages that don't link to much are called. But lots of small pages have a status called pending changes, where if a brand new account edits anything, it won't be visible to the public until it's been checked by a trusted editor. No matter what you're editing, you need to have already made 10 edits that haven't been reversed by an admin in order to create a new page. And big, important pages are crawling with admins on the hunt for trolls. If you see something on a heavily trafficked wiki page that looks suspicious, refresh the page and it'll most likely be gone in the blink of an eye. Wear this, Jollibee. Or not, alright. Lots of pages for important topics, especially politically controversial ones, are protected, meaning only trusted Wikipedia editors can edit them. There are several levels of protection, the lowest being semi-protected, where you need to have had an account for 4 days and have made 10 approved edits to edit them. An example of a semi-protected page is the one for the African wild ass, which is a donkey. Fully protected pages can only be edited by administrators, and they currently include the pages for North Korea, ISIS, Muslim grooming gangs in the UK, and the album My Time to Eat by the Atlanta rapper Big Country King. I'm sure there's an episode worth of drama there, but that's the thing. Wikipedia is a vast untapped reserve of internet drama. If I just wanted to be a Wikipedia drama YouTuber who has a new hour-long episode every week about a berserk edit war on Wikipedia, I could. And someone should. There's one level above fully protected, office protected, or Blacklock. Edits to these need to be reviewed not by admin, but by the Wikimedia Foundation itself, the nonprofit that runs Wikipedia. Office protection is only done in cases where someone is using Wikipedia to seriously libel a living person, or in one case, a libel suit filed against Wikipedia itself by a state-run news source in India, and it's so rare that currently, not a single one of the over 7 million English Wikipedia pages is office protected. That's the thing. Protection standards are almost always temporary. Eventually, all edit wars and all wars in the real world die down. But they do manage to cover almost every explosive subject you could possibly think of in the same detached, neutral tone, and I don't know if any other site does that or even aspires to do that these days. As far as I know, there's only one case in which Wikipedia admins have decided that yes, this subject is definitely notable enough to get a wiki page, but there will never be one because covering this topic would be too controversial and too hard to keep free of trolls. It's the page for Chris Chan. Who gets to be an admin? For most of its existence, Wikipedia's organizational structure has been a bit like Imperial China. Not a democracy, but more meritocratic than you might think. There are currently 834 administrators on the English Wikipedia, and traditionally, like imperial Chinese magistrates, wiki admins are chosen by willingly putting themselves through a grueling selection process. There's a 7-day period in which admins-to-be can be questioned by other editors, in a public forum that's been compared to a Senate hearing for a Supreme Court nominee. Once they've met an opaque standard of approval from both the editing public and the bureaucrats, who are the real big kahunas of Wikipedia, and there are currently only 16 of, there's a proverbial puff of white smoke and congratulations, you're an admin. The success rate of an admin application ranges wildly, from 70% of the people who applied in 2022 to 44% of the people who applied in 2024. The grilling from other editors is so infamously difficult that the number of people who even applied to be admins has been declining as Wikipedia has grown. Today it averages about 23 a year. That's not the number of people who get in, that's the number who choose to apply in the first place. In fall 2024, in one of the biggest changes Wikipedia has ever made to its organizational structure, they introduced elections for admins every 5 months, in which anyone who's been editing Wikipedia for over 30 days and over 500 edits can run, and anyone who's met that same standard can vote. They did that because they were literally running out of people who could be admins, not necessarily because of the difficulty of being an admin itself, but because everyone was scared of the onerous application process. The admins still aren't subject to re-election, except through a rare and tortured recall petition process. Wikipedia admin is a lifetime position, but the admins are supposed to be humble about their role either way. They don't get paid. Wikipedia is a nonprofit and has very few real employees. The symbol admins use of their role is a mop. They sweep away dirt and junk on the site so it's easier for everyone to use. On the page explaining admins' roles, they compare themselves not to the government or police or anyone with real power, but to humble janitors. Just like a real-world janitor might have keys to offices that some other workers are excluded from, admins have some role-specific abilities, but, also like a real-world janitor, they're not more important than the other editors. That doesn't always work in the real world, and some janitors of the Free Encyclopedia definitely let their mop go to their heads. One such individual was a Canadian who went by, say it with me, Neelix. By the time our story begins in 2015, Neelix had been on Wikipedia for almost a decade. In 2006, when he joined, his bio said that he was most interested in articles related to Star Trek, sure, and, oddly enough, the Salvation Army. Alright, cool, good to have a corner of Wikipedia that's your beat. What we cannot be sure of is if he really liked the character Neelix, but I think Neelix does have a handful of vocal defenders in the fandom. By 2009, Neelix, we're talking about the Wikipedia editor now, and we will continue to, he had made his mark on the site. By this point, he had a trophy case of honors for his prolific editing. In addition to saying he was from Newfoundland, he claimed to be the 196th most prolific Wikipedian, and I can believe that, but at the same time, he claimed he'd been editing Wikipedia for 19 years, 3 months, and 26 days, and at that point, Wikipedia itself was only 8 years old. He certainly had created a lot of pages, though, which crossed a dizzying array of subjects. Sure enough, many of them were related to the Salvation Army. Others were related to the African country of Senegal, still not sure what his ties to Senegal were, and the other articles he'd created ran the gamut from Buffy episodes to prog metal albums to genuses of bats and snails to obscure countries' legal systems to vehicles used by Batman. But that mostly wasn't what Neelix got honored by his fellow Wikipedians for. His medals are for creating lots of disambiguation pages, and at the top of the list of pages he's created, he says, "Although I've created hundreds of pages, the vast majority of them are disambiguation pages and redirect pages." That, not Star Trek, not the Salvation Army, that was Neelix's beat. And people respected him for it, because it's unsexy and largely hidden work, but Wikipedia needs its disambiguations and redirects. What are those? A disambiguation page consists of links to unrelated pages with similar names. When there are just a couple of pages with a similar name, they don't need a disambiguation page, just a link letting you know that if this isn't what you were looking for, you might have been looking for this. For example, the top of the page for Perry County, Missouri contains the disambiguation text, "Perry Como redirects here. For the famous crooner, see Perry Como." But maybe you'll open up the search bar in Wikipedia and type in London. You want the Smiths song called London, but of course, people are more likely to search for the city itself, so that's the page you end up on. Fortunately, you can go up and click London Disambiguation, and there's the list of everything called London that has a Wikipedia page. The city in Ontario, various books and movies called London, and yep, there's the Smiths song. Lots of things have disambiguations. Here's the disambiguation page for the word funny, which includes links to humor, 3 songs called funny, and for good measure, a genus of spiders. There's a disambiguation called disambiguation disambiguation. These are important, but so are redirects. If I type in funny, it won't automatically take me to the disambiguation page for funny. The page it assumes I want to go to is the one for the concept of humor. Someone has to manually add these, thinking of all the possible permutations of humor or funny that people might type in looking for this page, and then set that search term to redirect to the page for humor. You can look up which terms redirect to which articles. For example, here is a small selection of the terms that redirect to cannabis drug. As you can see here, redirects have a lower standard for encyclopedic language than the rest of Wikipedia, because I guess at some point someone might type wacky tabacky into the Wikipedia search bar and Wikipedians want to be helpful and redirect that person to the page for cannabis.
Should the Wikipedia page for cannabis refer to it as wacky tobacky? No, and everyone agrees on that. But should someone add a redirect page for the phrase wacky tobacky to get people to the page they're looking for? That's an open question, and one that divides Wikipedians a fair amount. Which redirects are useful? There are some pretty silly redirects that are allowed to stay on the site. My favorite redirect, discovered courtesy of friend of the channel Annie Rowarda from Depths of Wikipedia, who got me all this Wikipedia swag that I can wear around when I'm hanging out with other nerds and be like, oh cool, you're a Wikipedia editor. I'm not. One of the few things in existence that makes me laugh, no matter how many times I've seen it, that I truly never get tired of seeing, the search term Jants redirects to the page for jeans. So that was Neelix's main role on the site. He was the king of redirects. He created thousands of them. First, they were Star Trek related. For example, he made the search term Nichelle redirect to Uhura's actress, Nichelle Nichols. Fair enough, there's nobody else famous named Nichelle. Others were just random, but mostly helpful. He made the phrase Executive Council of Macau, spelled ending with an O, redirect to Executive Council of Macau ending with a U, because that's the spelling of Macau the Executive Council uses. Again, people admired him for this. In 2011, Neelix was raised to the coveted rank of admin. He changed his user bio to include a photo of him, his real name, which I will not disclose, but is not hard to find, and an encomium of Wikipedia that proves he had a real passion for the site, with thoughts about how it brings experts together in a great intellectual collaboration, and strong opinions about granular internal guidelines that only make sense to Wikipedia editors in the first place. And then, in November 2015, things started to unravel. Did I say earlier that making disambiguation and redirect pages is unsexy and largely hidden work? Well, it's largely hidden, sure, but Neelix found a way to make it sexy. L'affaire Neelix began with a post to the talk page for another administrator, Dr. Mies. A user started a thread headlined, "An Orgy of Redirects," saying, "Hi Doctor, I've run across this sort of thing recently and I am frankly impressed by the persistence, but I can't imagine that these are necessary. Anyway, I didn't know quite who to take this to and I thought of you, what with it being about breasts and all. Hoping you're very well." I still don't really know what Wikipedia admin Dr. Mia's connection to the concept of breasts was, but well, let's look at what this user linked. It was a list of the most recent redirects created by Neelix. That's a lot of topics related to breasts. Interesting. You think this is all? You think it's over? It ain't over by a long shot. Neelix had not yet begun to breast boobily across Wikipedia. Everything you've seen so far seems like it could maybe work as a redirect, but here's a few that raised more eyebrows. Redirects for hand jobs, foot jobs, and tit implant and boobie implant, which Neelix seems to have created in the middle of a long session of creating redirects to the pages for Christian books and bookstores. There is no full master list, and many of Neelix's boobiest contributions have been lost to the sands of time, but they get much weirder than this. Shrunken tits, tubular boobies, absence of tits, titty constructor, and boobie builder, two versions of the latter, one ending with Y, one ending with IE, redirected to breast reconstruction. Tiny titties, redirected to micromastia. There were dozens of variations of the phrase titty fucking, as well as a trip down mammary lane, which redirected to the same place. Every time people thought that had to be the last of the boob-related redirects, they discovered more. Discussion moved to the admin's notice board, where Neelix partially defended himself, saying, "I agree that the terms and phrases are puerile, but I think we should have redirects for puerile terms and phrases. Considering that there seems to be so much opposition, I will not object to the redirects being deleted, and I will not attempt to create more redirects in this vein, but I do think them valid. We do have a wide and diverse reader base, and people can and do use search strings consisting of slang terms, both the silly and the crass." Alright, so Neelix's defense was, imagine a poor internet user who wants to look up tiny titties and doesn't know the medical term. He types it into the search bar and gets redirected to micromastia. This would sort of make sense. If getting wacky tobacky to redirect to cannabis makes sense, so does this. But the terms Neelix was adding as redirects were not all in this vein. Indeed, most of the terms Neelix was adding were strange collisions of clinical medical terminology with the words boobs and tits. He added redirects that have probably never been spoken out loud in the history of the English language. Booby cyst, titty cancer, tumorous boobies, atrophy of the titties, hypoplastic tits, Nipple Derby. I don't even know what that last one could possibly redirect to. A lot of editors speculated he'd made a bot designed so that wherever the word breast was used in an official medical term, it would create redirects to that page that replaced it with tit or booby. Despite the massive volume and repetitiveness of Neelix's edits, he denied using bots, saying that he was just a fast typer. For the page on breastfeeding, Neelix added the redirect boob feeding. Ultimately, admins estimated a total of 80,000 redirects had been added over the years by Neelix. This was semi-common knowledge, he was a prolific editor and all. But nobody realized just how many of them were like this. Nobody knows how many of Neelix's redirects were mammary in nature. Literally thousands is the only estimate. So, what was Wikipedia going to do about it? The admin world divided into two camps. The anti-boobers, they did not call themselves this, who wanted Neelix to be completely banned from editing Wikipedia forever, and the tit defenders, they likewise did not call themselves this, who thought that maybe Neelix should be banned from editing breast-related topics, maybe he should be defrocked of his admin status and reduced to an ordinary editor, but the vast majority of his redirects were helpful and not eyebrow-raising, and besides, Wikipedia doesn't have a rule against vulgar or sexual content. When they say they want to cover everything, they mean everything. If you grew up in the early 2010s using a computer with parental controls, you'll know that there are detailed and often illustrated Wikipedia pages for almost every sexual act you can think of. And parental controls don't censor Wikipedia, do they? As the other admins tried to clean up the ridiculous redirects, they found it surprisingly hard to separate the wheat from the chaff. The redirects for several different spellings of titty fucking, amazingly, were allowed to stay, and so was A Trip Down Mammary Lane, because the page that those terms redirected to was titled Mammary Intercourse, and, well, that's cold and clinical, and nobody calls it that in real life. What do people call it? Titty fucking. It's okay to have vulgar terms as redirects to vulgar things. One editor called the response to Neelix's shenanigans Victorian. But that's a maximally charitable interpretation of Neelix's oeuvre, and a majority of his lewd redirects were not like this. Dr. Mies put it best. What the fuck? I mean, walk up to an adult, I'm sure you know one, and tell them you just created a redirect called Absence of Tits. Now walk up to a breast cancer survivor and say that. I said the admin approval process was like a Supreme Court nomination hearing. Well, Wikipedia has a Supreme Court of its own, ARBCOM, or the Arbitration Committee. They consist of 12 admins, elected annually by the other admins, and their proceedings are set up as much like real Supreme Court cases as they can possibly be, with opening statements from both parties and the 12 arbitrators soliciting questions from the involved parties or other editors supporting them. There was concern about bringing the Neelix issue to ARBCOM simply because ARBCOM had a lot of cases on their docket around then, and once again, these people aren't paid for what is effectively a full-time job. But emotions were running high around Neelix. Some thought that they would have to completely ban him, whether that was right or not, to avoid the situation breaching containment. After all, it was 2015 and Wikipedia was coming under suspicion from the mainstream media. Gamergate was in full royal at this point. Speaking of Gamergate and disambiguation text, I think this might be my favorite disambiguation on all of Wikipedia. And the narrative that nerds are misogynistic was newly popular in the media. Before about 2014, nerds, the smug, religion-hating, Hitchhiker's Guide-quoting, Wikipedia-editing nerds of the golden age of the internet, were an evergreen part of the progressive coalition. All of a sudden, right around then, they weren't. And the blue tribe-gray tribe split was upon us. Most nerds were left stammering and betrayed. A process had been launched into motion that the old nerds felt began with progressives deciding that empathy and liberation of the oppressed requires stuffing some nerds into lockers, and ended with Elon Musk serving in Trump's cabinet, which, in November 2015, when Trump was already running for office and Elon Musk was a cult-followed environmentalist hero with minimal mainstream fame, would have sounded a bit like Zoran Mamdani serving in Netanyahu's cabinet. I think old-school nerds felt like in the early 2010s they'd finally found a milieu where they were not just not bullied, but considered cool, and it was the online progressive world. And then, whether this perception is accurate or not, they feel like suddenly around 2014, for the actions of an annoying minority of them, progressives turned on them and started bullying them. A remarkable amount of the American political and cultural situation in 2025 can be explained by this. The idea of a Wikipedia editor who looks like this, named after an obscure and lecherous Star Trek character, cranking out thousands of gross redirects about boobs, sounds like the fever dream of a Jezebel writer, and it was real. there was a lot of talk about how Wikipedians needed to nip Neelix in the bud before the media turned him into the CEO of Wikipedia. Wikipedia was trying to attract more women to edit the site and has kept trying ever since with limited success. This was not going to help. ArbCom took up the case. In the admin's notice board, users proposed everything from creating a bot to delete all of Neelix's redirects, useful and otherwise, to letting him off with a slap on the wrist and telling him not to do it again. A motion went around to ban Neelix from creating all redirects, which drew arguments for and against, with about two-thirds of participants, in my estimation, favoring the ban. The fear that the media would seize on this incident to delegitimize Wikipedia was a contentious topic. Only ArbCom has the power to de-sysop an admin, meaning remove their admin status and relegate them to an ordinary editor. As ArbCom deliberated, Neelix, who had mostly been quiet throughout the raging debate, even as it stretched into a second week, finally broke his silence and announced that he was willingly surrendering his admin status. By effectively pleading guilty, he got a lighter sentence than some were calling for, being banned from creating redirects for a year, but no complete ban from Wikipedia. Admins, mostly one who went by Anomi, painstakingly sifted through all of Neelix's redirects and deleted the most questionable ones. Again, a minority of even the sexual ones were allowed to stay, such as titty physics, an actual term in game design for the surprisingly difficult task of creating female video game characters whose breasts respond realistically to their movements. Okay, but here's the biggest, bounciest, most voluptuous question of them all. Why? What was Neelix's motive? He's a creep doesn't cut it. This is extremely specific creepiness. Some editors thought this was pure innocent autism, a desire to categorize every possible way of saying particular phrases and making sure they're all added as redirects. After all, this wasn't the only thing he seemed obsessed with. If there's one topic Neelix created more redirects about than boobs, it's tree frogs. So many redirects to species of tree frogs. For every one boob redirect, there's gotta be five tree frog redirects, and nobody was calling Neelix the weird tree frog guy. But this didn't seem to be it. It wasn't just boobs. Neelix had been adding extremely strange sexual terms as redirects for years, and had even created some pages on those themes. He created a page called Pantslessness, discussing the concept of not wearing pants, illustrated with a graphic photo of a woman doing just that, and added an armada of redirects to it, including phrases that could only come from this singular newfie mind, like anti-trousers. My favorite thing Neelix ever did are the 50-something redirects that refer to the human torso as the thorax, exclusively in the context of nudity. Nude thorax, naked thorax, nude thoraxes, thoracal bareness. Make me think he's lusting after bees. And then there was Wikimedia Commons. Editors found Neelix's page on Wikimedia Commons, which is the repository of photos that can be used in Wikipedia articles and is partially managed as a separate site. Commons has way more material and fewer editors than English Wikipedia. Sawyer, who suggested this episode, helped me with research and fact-checked my reporting about Wikipedia, likens it to the Wild West. Neelix hadn't added too many photos to Commons, but he had created hundreds of categories that he'd added existing photos to, and almost all of them could only be understood as an index of extremely specific fetishes. Nude woman striking various poses, nude woman stooping to pick up a ball, nude woman inside toilet, stooping and throwing a wrap around shoulders, which included 37 photos. Female mammals urinating. Only a minority of Neelix's Wikimedia Commons categories were non-sexual. And back in 2010, before Neelix had been named an admin, there was a precursor to Tittygate. Neelix had been blocked for 48 hours by an admin for, quote, rapid creation of 4 to 6 inappropriate pages per minute for extended time. When the discussions for that case were brought to light, a new Neelix allegation surfaced that he had been meat puppeting, meaning that rather than using bots to crank out useless edits, he'd been getting other real people to log into his account at the same time so that they could make edits on an industrial scale, possibly to boost Neelix's edit count and get him into the ranks of the most prolific Wikipedia editors. Purportedly, an anonymous user had claimed they were one of 12 people logged into his account at once. To my knowledge, a year later when Neelix was named an admin, nobody brought this incident up in his confirmation hearing. At the time, there wasn't any strong evidence this was true, other than the rapid volume of edits. But it strengthened the case against Neelix. But the real smoking gun, the one that made people go, oh, this guy really does suck, was the page for Tara Tung. Tung is a Chinese-Canadian model who was Miss Canada 2011. At the time Wikipedians discovered Neelix had a nipple fixation that would put Coco the gorilla to shame, Tung's Wikipedia page was longer than that of Barack Obama. Guess which prolific Canadian editor had created most of it? The text of the article itself wasn't that creepy and mostly focused on Tung's activism against human trafficking. Neelix liked Tara Tung for more than just her body, m'lady. There had already been suspicion that Tung's publicist, or the evangelical church she was part of at the time, had edited her page as an in-depth promotion stunt. Once editors discovered it was Neelix's doing, a few users began to claim that Neelix was an evangelical Christian himself, and that was why he was promoting Tung. I doubt this. He had an interest in the history of the Salvation Army, but I'm willing to say that was just an autistic special interest. Early on in his Wikipedia career, there's evidence of him editing and adding redirects to the articles for lots of books critical of Christianity and classic arguments against the existence of God. You may think Neelix couldn't have been more of a 2000s nerd stereotype, but yes, I think he was also a militant atheist, with an unrequited crush-turned obsession on an Asian beauty queen. This is your reminder that all stereotypes come from somewhere. I think it's a shame that Neelix posted a photo of himself to his user page, because now I picture him as that guy, and in my mind's eye, that works. If he hadn't, I'd have pictured Neelix from Voyager sitting at a laptop and humming to himself as he adds terms to Wikipedia like atrophy of the titties and fawns over minuscule life details of a pageant princess. That's very easy to picture, actually. That works even better. There is no detailed census of the demographics of Wikipedia, but the site itself estimates that 80 to 90% of its editors are male, and this hasn't changed much since the site first went live. The tale of Neelix still isn't that well known outside the world of Wikipedia editors, and I respect my audience enough to expect that you'll come away from this episode with a more nuanced understanding of the situation than Wikipedia is incel propaganda. Many times there have been drives to improve women's contribution to the site, but they've been met with backlash by the site's established editors. I know plenty of women who edit Wikipedia and love it, but also a fair number who have been disillusioned by editors' misogyny. These days, apparently, there's a large and growing contingent of trans editors. I can't help but notice that the demographics of Wikipedia mirror my impression of the demographics of lots of other very nerdy, very autistic online spaces, from Less Wrong to Tor's Cabinet of Curiosities viewers. A strong majority of men, a handful of women, but also way more trans people, especially trans women, than the baseline population. Possibly more trans women than cis women. The lurking variable here is probably, once again, autism. It's an open question whether women really are less likely than men to be diagnosed with autism, but I do know that girl autism presents differently, and I think everyone who knows a large, mixed-gender contingent of autistic people can agree with me. I don't know if Wikipedia can ever attain complete gender parity. The phenotype it attracts is a very specific type of, well, man or T-girl. But if we want to attract more women to Wikipedia, I think it's time to tell autistic women, don't be afraid to info dump. These days, it's more common for Wikipedia to be attacked from the right than the left, and some studies have borne out the claim that Wikipedia has a left-wing bias, but not a consistent one. A study that concluded overall Wikipedia has a slight progressive bias also found that the most favorably biased Wikipedia page on a public figure was that of Australia's deeply unprogressive former Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Given that he was nicknamed Scotty from marketing, I have my theories about that one. What of Neelix now? I don't know what was going through his head during the few weeks in 2015 when all of Wikipedia's top brass was loudly discussing his fate. Clearly, Wikipedia was his life's passion. I don't know if he ever realized until then that he was doing something weird and wrong. Even after being banned, he's still among the top 250 English Wikipedia editors of all time. Officially, that is. There's suspicion about how many of Neelix's edits really were his. I'm pretty sure hypostatic tits and anti-trousers were his own creation because, again, it really takes a specific sort of genius to come up with phrases like those, but he never beat the wiki fraud allegations, both that some Neelix edits weren't Neelix, and some accounts with different names were Neelix. The main Neelix account stopped editing after Tittygate, even though he could still do most things, just not create redirects. And after a year was up, he was allowed to do that again, too. But in 2020, editors launched an investigation into a few Wikipedia users with Canadian IP addresses and an interest in the same subjects Neelix used to edit. Not boobs, but Canadian beauty pageants, places in Senegal, and yes, tree frogs. There wasn't enough evidence to link them at the time, and I don't know enough about computers to understand what the eventual smoking gun was, but apparently by 2022, when the Neelix sock puppetry issue was raised again, a user managed to prove to admin's satisfaction that these users were indeed Neelix. His main account was still on Wikipedia, he just wasn't an admin anymore. He presumably was just embarrassed to show his proverbial face on the site that used to be his online home. Either way, creating sock puppet accounts is one of the gravest wiki crimes. Neelix has been fully banned since 2022. He's never really apologized for being horny on Maine, but I think he was hit by a good amount of regret. One of the sock puppet editor's proposed edits was to suggest deleting the much-reduced Tara Tang article entirely. Make of that what you will. And yet, Wikipedia still works. I'm relying on another, not particularly favorable, stereotype of nerds here, but the organizational structure of Wikipedia turns this into a strength. Nerds love correcting each other. Sagely correcting each other is the lifeblood of the nerd internet. Wikipedia is vast without being impenetrable, leaderless without being anarchic, and crowdsourced without being unreliable. One thing that Neelix was not directly doing, and nobody ever accused him of doing, was affecting the credibility of the information itself. His weird edits were not public-facing. He was a productive Wikipedian who did accurate in-depth research into dozens of subjects, while also being horny and possibly corrupt. If a similarly prestigious admin had been discovered to have a pattern of putting fake, inaccurate information on Wikipedia, there would be no debate over how to respond like there was with Neelix. ArbCom would not need to get involved. They would be banned. And there's never been a case like that. Nobody could ever get to the level Neelix was at while writing fake articles. That would come out early on in their rise to power. There was an editor of the Chinese Wikipedia who spent years making a fascinating interconnected series of fake articles about Russian history, but they weren't a well-known editor, and the Chinese wiki is, for obvious reasons, quite a bit smaller than the world's number of Chinese speakers would suggest. There are a few well-known cases of fake articles staying up on Wikipedia for a long time, and those get trumpeted as examples of the site's inherent untrustworthiness. My favorite is the supposed Australian Aboriginal god Jar Edo Wens, a tiny obscure page that was created in 2004 and stayed up for 10 years until it was discovered no Aborigine had ever worshipped a god called Jar Edo Wens. The page was created by a teenager named Jared Owens. But that was a two-sentence article hidden away in a far corner of the site, averaging daily visits you could count on one hand. Where there are eyes on the street, vandalism won't stick. Wikipedia may be the last place where the 90s concept of the internet as a global village survives, where people are assumed to be good until proven bad. Wikipedia is never going to tell you that the center of an atom is called Dave. But if you want to go shopping for some clothes because you're sick of going anti-trousers and you can't remember the name of that article of clothing that's like jorts but long like pants, Wikipedia will helpfully redirect you to the page for jeans.
been.